Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation on this, the last Sunday after Trinity, is the Gospel lesson read before in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, which I would read again as follows. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the only Savior of poor sinners, beloved hearers of His most wonderful word. On this, the last Sunday of the church year, it is customary to treat the subject as the subject of the sermon, some facet of eschatology, that is, of the end of the world, and of Christ's coming to judgment. This custom developed out of the symbolism built into our Christian church calendar. You see, each church year is another year of God's grace extended to us poor, miserable sinners, to you and to me and to all mankind, in which he begs us to repent of our sins, to cling to Christ, our Savior, who purchased our redemption with his holy life and with his innocent suffering and death in our place, and firmly to believe that for his sake, because of his perfect satisfaction of God's justice, God in heaven has forgiven us, has declared us righteous in his sight, and has made us heirs of everlasting life in heaven. The end of the church year symbolizes the end of our time of grace here in this world. Either our departure in death, or Christ's second visible coming to judge the world, whichever of those comes first. On the last day, the appearance of Christ coming in the clouds of heaven with his holy angels will occur unexpectedly as a thief in the night, as we heard in the epistle lesson before. And it will catch many people, even many professing Christians, unprepared to meet him. And so by means of the parable of the 10 virgins in our text for today, on this last Sunday of the church year, the dear Savior begs you and me carefully to examine our preparedness for that great day. And as his ambassador, I beseech you in his name and in his stead to consider the question suggested by our text, namely, just how prepared are you for the Savior's second coming? Are you equipped for it? Are you alert for it? Are you ready for it? And finally, are you aware of the consequences of being unprepared for it? Jesus says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." It was customary in those days that weddings take place at the bride's home, generally in the evening. And the groom was accompanied to the home of his bride by a contingent or honor guard of chaste virgins, each one carrying a brightly burning lamp to light the groom's way. Now, in this parable, the 10 virgins symbolize the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says. That is, true believers patiently awaiting the arrival of Christ, the bridegroom of his church. Note that each virgin has been provided with a lamp and an ample supply of oil for use in the wedding procession. The lamp itself was only equipment, however, whose true purpose and function was to provide light for the bridegroom's advance. We see immediately in the symbolism of the parable that a lamp without a flame would be of no significance to the bridegroom whatsoever, coming in the dead of night. Just as the mere profession of faith is not sufficient to gain us entrance into the marriage feast of Christ, our heavenly bridegroom. For Jesus tells us, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." The flame on the lamp represents faith. As St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says, "God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that is, on the first day of creation, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." This God-given light is not mere head knowledge, but confidence of the heart in God's saving mercy and grace to poor sinners, for Jesus' sake. The knowledge of which we have from the gospel, and the confidence of which we have by means of the gospel. Such confidence is saving faith because of the assurance of God's forgiveness to which it clings. And saving faith is the only way into the marriage feast of heaven. "For by grace are ye saved through faith," Paul writes to the Ephesians chapter 2. The oil that fuels those lamps and keeps their flames brightly burning can be nothing else than the wondrous grace of God in Christ Jesus. Offered, given, and sealed to us in the gospel and in the sacraments, the very means whereby the Holy Ghost creates saving faith in the first place, and the only means whereby he also then strengthens and preserves that faith unto life everlasting. Our spiritual equipment, then, my dear hearers, as we wait for the coming of Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, includes both our brightly burning lamps of faith and the nurturing or nourishing oil of God's grace, both of these furnished to us as his free gift and acquired not of works, lest any man should boast. But now we read that five of the virgins were wise and five were foolish. Notice that Jesus does not call them good and bad, for they were, all 10 of them, chaste virgins, pure and spotless, clothed in his own righteousness, and justified before God by grace. All of them holding, initially at least, brightly burning lamps. But Jesus calls five wise and five foolish because of the way that they cared for their lamps and looked after their supply of oil. The foolish virgins took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The wise made use of opportunities to stock up on oil so that the flames on their lamps could be fueled and sustained, while the foolish starved the flames on their lamps and gave no thought to the necessity of refueling them. They only came with the oil that initially was in the reservoir of their lamp. Now, my dear hearers, the question for you today, as the day of the Lord approaches, and no man knows when that day and that hour will occur, the question is, are you equipped for Jesus' second coming? Is your lamp of faith in good working order? Is it brightly burning in anticipation of the bridegroom's arrival? Is its steady flame clearly visible to others, shining before men and well fueled against what could be a long wait? Are you wisely stocking up on the oil of God's grace regularly at every opportunity by diligent use of his word and sacraments? Or are you foolishly relying on your current level of oil, as it were, to see you through the long night of waiting? Are you wisely growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are you foolishly pacing the grace of God, lazily and carelessly coasting along, listlessly floating, as it were, like a leaf on a stagnant pond? That would be foolish indeed. The Apostle Paul says, examine yourselves. Take a good, hard look at yourselves and see that ye walk circumspectly, keeping your spiritual eyes open and peeled, as it were, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, he says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we do not fall from our own steadfastness, as the Apostle Peter warns in his second epistle, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But now we read that the bridegroom tarried. He waited. He did not show up when the virgins expected him. And as they waited for him to arrive, boredom set in, and all the virgins, not just the foolish ones, all the virgins slumbered and slept. Now Jesus tells us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, surely I come quickly. And we noted in the epistle lesson read before that the Apostle Peter warns us of scoffers who will arise in these latter times saying, where is the promise of his coming? If that's quick, I'd certainly like to know what slow is. It's been 2,000 and some years since he made that statement. But in our fleshly weakness, brethren, we too easily tire of waiting. As Jesus' disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example, we imagine his coming to be far off in the future somewhere. And we begin to get spiritually drowsy and inattentive when he doesn't just show up when we would think he would. And before we know it, we, just like the virgins in our text, are comfortably asleep at the switch. Suddenly at midnight, when his coming is least expected, there is a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. Here's the good news that all the virgins had been waiting for. The virgins wake up with a start, rub their sleepy eyes, and reach for their lamps, quickly to adjust their wicks for the brightest possible flame. Sadly, their lamps have been sitting off to one side, unattended, uncared for, while in their weakness and in their weariness of the long wait, the virgins were not keeping a faithful vigil, but were spiritually sleeping. Now, what about you, my dear hearer? Are you alert for Jesus' second coming? Or is the bridegroom's delay slowly lulling you into sleepy spiritual inattentiveness and carnal security? Is the seeming lack of excitement in the Lord's kingdom letting spiritual boredom set in with you? Is it perhaps the lateness of the hour that is causing you to drift off into spiritual sleep? Are you a dead-tired Christian? Oh, then, awake, thou that sleepest, writes the Lord's Apostle Paul. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first came to faith. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. It's about time that you wake up spiritually and get your watchful act together, as we say. For your dear bridegroom, your loving Savior, will come when he is least expected, and you cannot afford to be napping when he appears. You can't remain sober and vigilant against your adversary, the devil, against his ancillary adversaries, the world, and your old sinful flesh, when you're not steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. And don't forget, Satan never sleeps. Therefore, watch and pray, our Savior begs us, as he begged his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, when they could scarcely keep their eyes open. Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is oh so weak. The 10 virgins, like you and me, have been properly equipped. And although they did not stay alert for the bridegroom's coming, they had been roused from sleep, still in time for his appearance. But were they truly ready at that very moment to go in with him into the marriage? We read, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Or according to the original Greek, our lamps are at the point of going out. They're just about out. But the wise answered and said, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The foolish virgins found themselves in very serious trouble because of their own inattentiveness and carelessness. While they snoozed so securely, their lamps burned on and on, consuming the oil that was in those vessels. But the oil had never been replenished. Now their lamps were at the point of going out for lack of fuel, and they had no extra oil with them. The wise had just enough for themselves, and they were not about to jeopardize their brightly burning flames by passing off their oil to the others. Borrowing of fuel was not an option. The foolish only thought that they were ready, and their last-minute futile attempt to shop for oil made them miss the bridegroom's coming altogether. They found themselves locked out because they were not truly ready. Now, many who were once faithful Christians have fallen into the very situation as those foolish virgins found themselves, due to carelessness, indifference, and just plain spiritual laziness. Such people are so foolishly self-confident in the supposed strength of their own faith that they neglect their supply of oil. They despise the precious means of grace. They neglect diligent Bible study. They absent themselves unnecessarily from the preaching of God's word and from instruction in Christian doctrine. They pass up opportunities to grow as Christians. And they dare to suggest that they don't need edification. After all, they are strong Christians who would never fall away from the Savior and His true church. And so they literally starve out their own faith and let the wicks of their lamps burn dry and smolder down to a pitiful glow, just a cinder. And while such glowing embers are still saving faith, which the Lord would not extinguish, as we see, for example, in Isaiah 42, verse 3, where he says, "The smoking flax shall he not quench." Those smoking flaxes are easily extinguished with the slightest breeze of trial and temptation. And even if such weak believers realize their plight at the very last minute, as their lamps are flickering out and as they are losing confidence in God's free grace and mercy in Christ Jesus for salvation, they cannot borrow God's grace from somebody else or tap into someone else's faith, as it were, for the just shall live by his faith, the Bible says. Neither can those who neglected and despised God's grace go out anymore and buy for themselves on the last day. They cannot anymore seek out the means of grace available from the stewards of God's mysteries, those who preach and teach the life-giving gospel, the power of God unto salvation, for the time of grace is over. The stores, the marketplaces where the grace of God is set forth and purveyed without money and without price, free for the taking, as the prophet Isaiah sets forth in chapter 55 of his prophecy, the stores are closed. The sign in the window says, "Gone to the marriage." What about you, dear hearer of Jesus' words in our text? Are you ready right now for the Savior's coming? Is your lamp of faith filled to the brim with oil, wick trimmed and burning brightly? Are you confident of God's gracious forgiveness for Jesus' sake? Is the evidence of that confidence shining forth to others as an example of spiritual preparedness, of faith, and of love for the Lord Jesus and His Word and Church? Are you a regular and eager customer at the oil depot, stocking up on the grace and knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ, stocking up on as much of it as you can get your hands on? Or do you perhaps think that there's plenty of time yet before you have to concern yourself with such things? There's plenty of time before you die, even, and have to stand before the judgment seat of God clothed in righteousness other than your own? Or do you perhaps imagine the last day so far down the road, as we discussed somewhat in Bible class this morning, after your children are grown, after your grandchildren are grown, so that there's no cause for panic about preparedness? Oh, beware, self-secure and sleepy virgin. For Jesus told his very own disciples, "Be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." And now, the Lord Jesus concludes his parable of urgent warning by describing the consequences of being unprepared to meet him. For he tells us that when those five foolish virgins returned and found the door shut and the celebration already underway, they begged to be admitted, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." When the time of grace is past, all excuses for being unprepared will be rejected. Mere possession of a yellowed, aged baptismal or confirmation certificate, or a faded name on the membership list of a Christian congregation, will mean absolutely nothing for those whose lamps of faith have gone out. Gone out because of indifference. Gone out because of loss of first love for the Savior who loved them first. Loss of first love for His Word, which nurtures and sustains faith. Despisal of instruction in the saving truths of the gospel. For heaven's door will be closed to them forever, in spite of the fact that they were once enthusiastic, faithful, and even zealous Christians. They will have a fearful accounting to give. They will have a more fearful accounting to give than those who never had a lamp of faith in the first place. As Jesus points out when he says it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and even for Sodom in the day of judgment than for those who knew the grace of God in Christ Jesus. But blessed will be all those who, by God's grace, prompted and enabled by His Spirit through the gospel, trimmed their lamps to be brightly burning in confidence of their salvation. For they will be wise virgins who washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb of God, and by faith in Jesus' righteousness will lay claim to the crown of life laid up for them even now in the heavens. Hold that fast which thou hast, Jesus tells us, that no man take thy crown. O, therefore, my beloved hearers, wake up and get busy stockpiling the oil of God's grace while it is day, before the night cometh when no man can work. Eagerly take advantage of every opportunity to use the precious means of grace. For they, Luther is said to have remarked, are like the wagon in which the Holy Spirit of God delivers his faith-creating and faith-sustaining oil to our oft-times flickering lamps. For then you will be genuinely equipped to meet your Savior. You will be keenly alert to his imminent coming. And you will be truly ready at any time for that welcome cry, that glorious, joyful cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," what you've been waiting for all your life by the grace of God. The bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Rejoice, the Lord is at hand. God grant us all such blessed spiritual preparedness for the sake of him who loved us even unto death and reconciled us unto God, that we might live with him forever in the endless marriage feast of heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in the Lord Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.